This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everybody.
Hope you're hanging out, enjoying the day, and kicking back. Why, we got this from here.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you, of course, by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We made it. We made it to January. We made it to the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, we finally made it. And, like, the minute you said that, though, I just felt like an instant relief, by the way. Like, I've known this since Sunday.
Yeah.
And we did the overtime show. But when you said it, just now, I'm like, oh, that's right. We did make it. We are into the playoff week. We are into January. We are into put up or shut up territory.
Survive in advance, do or die, put up or shut up.
Does not matter how you do it at this point. There should be no... And ready? I think I'm going to do something here 2 minutes into the show. I am putting my hand up to swear a vow. I vow that for the next several weeks, or as long as the Bills are alive, I will not complain about a singular win.
Like, just get it done, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't care how ugly it is. I'm not going to be like, oh, but they didn't do this, or I'm a little concerned about this against this team. Nope, I'm going to shut the entire way up.
Well, I mean, I've even kind of gotten there, too, with like how their offense operates, because it's become quite apparent, pretty obvious. The Bills do their best work when all three tight ends are healthy. Like that group is essentially their number one receiver as a group. When they are all in, Kincaid, Knox, and Hawes, they can do some damage. And it's been their best wins. Their best offensive outputs have been with those guys in the lineup, even if it's rushing attacks. And like I got there, like, I don't love it in the long term, but in the short term, if that's what works, if that's what gets it done, great. And I will say, Derek, I mean, you mentioned it, you know, however long this goes, it could end on Sunday at around 4 when the game wraps up. I will say, though, I've started to really like Jacksonville. It started late with the Denver win, but they've looked good. Trevor Lawrence has looked like a completely different quarterback over the last 8 to 9 weeks, especially once they've acquired Jacoby Myers. The defense is young and aggressive. Liam Cohen is one of the, you know, young offensive-minded head coaches that just seem to land anywhere and do very well. There's a few misses, but there's a lot of wins. There's a lot of hits. If they're able to go into Jacksonville, and I know it's not the most aggressive crowd in the world, but this is also a franchise that hasn't won a road playoff game since 92. And with that, Allen is 0-4 on the road. That would make McDermott 0-5. If they can go get a road playoff win and beat this Jags team...
Mm-hmm.
I said it on Sunday. I said it last night on the nightcap. I will think they can beat anyone in the AFC. We'll get to the NFC if they get to the Super Bowl, but I'm not worrying about that side of the bracket until it's like the AFC Championship game if they get there. If they can get past this Jacksonville team, I don't really know who can beat them in the AFC. Because they do feel like, I'm not saying they're necessarily a great team. They can earn that in this run here. But they're a very good team, and they seem to not have any real weakness. Their weakness, legitimately, might just be their inexperience.
Yes, and that's for a lot of teams here.
Mm-hmm.
Entering this playoff field, Josh Allen's second in playoff wins among starting quarterbacks. And yes, I know I subscribe to the QB wins aren't a stat. But this is a noteworthy thing that people are measuring. It's Aaron Rodgers with 11, and he's been playing forever now. Allen with 7, second. He has more wins in the postseason than Jalen Hurts does. The man's got a Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But now you're also facing a playoff field where there are 3 players in your playoff field with 0. Another with 1. And then there's Aaron Rodgers with the worst team in the postseason field, and that includes Carolina. and C.J. Stroud and the Texans. So there is something to the Bills have something that other teams in this playoff field don't. Experience. As a team, they have the experience. The Steelers have plenty of experience of making the playoffs. They don't have a lot of experience in winning in it at this point. In the AFC, the Bills have an interesting advantage. But now we actually get to test the theory of, okay, how much does it really matter?
Right. I mean, like, honestly, like, this entire year has felt like, I think for many fans, a very exhausting exercise of how talented is this team? How much is it really just one or two guys kind of willing them to wins? Because I want to put James Cook in that category as well. I know early on it was, where would they be without Josh Allen? You got the NFL's leading rusher. I think you have to put him in that category.
There is something
as well
that you have to balance in there. Yes.
But man, it's just it does feel like they are at a bit of a crossroads. All of the pressure I don't think is on them. Like, I do not subscribe to the theory that if they lose this game, Sean McDermott is out, or that even Brandon Bean's going to get fired. And that one I can maybe get more on board with than the head coach. But it does feel like a super important moment for a number of these elder statesman teams. The Bills just happen to be the only one that made it. Baltimore didn't, Kansas City didn't, and to be fair, Joe Burrow hasn't been in since like 23. It's been a while for him.
Yep.
And so this kind of feels like a big moment. And yeah, I don't love that every national talking head seems to be putting all the pressure and the world on Allen and the Bills to win the playoff, to win the Super Bowl this year because of the playoff field. But also, yeah, it kind of makes sense.
That's where the narrative goes.
Yeah, you're the future Hall of Fame quarterback in a bracket with a bunch of unknowns and maybe goods. You kind of have to be the guy to do it. I'm not saying that's fair, but nationally and collectively, how people will talk about Allen's career 5 to 10 years after he's retired, they probably will go back to these playoffs, win or lose, and point to that was probably their best shot. Now, it may not all end up being on Allen. It may go to something like a Bean not making a move for a receiver, especially because they may lose to a team in Jacksonville who it's pretty much universally agreed upon. That's sort of what saved them.
Yeah, Myers being acquired.
Is Jacoby Myers winding up there? So, and like, this is there is a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, I think, on, I think, especially this game, because afterwards, then it just becomes, you might just be in the normal situation. Sunday's going to be wild.
Sunday's going to be wild, but thank you for bringing up Myers, because there's also another thing in this. You mentioned how, like, you don't subscribe to the theory that anyone gets fired, and I would agree with you. But Jacoby Myers, there's another anecdote, another public anecdote that, you know, that's seen as a subtle jab by the head coach to the GM. McDermott's asked yesterday about, you know, the Jaguars, and there's a little bit of praise for how that acquisition helped them. So maybe there is a change because they're still butting heads. Because again, there's a public perception right now that, yeah, there's another shot at the GM. And I don't know if that was actually intended by McDermott. I don't want to put the intention there. But at the same time, people are paying attention.
We've been down this road a few times now.
We've been down this road a few times this year. People are writing these things down. They're taking notes. They're going, hang on a dang minute. And yet, at the same time, when it comes to the narrative, fair or unfair, that's what happens when you're the team that is still consistently in the dance and you are consistently left on the stage with no one to dance with at the end. You're not the Steelers, a team that everyone dismisses as like not a real threat. You are one of the threats. You're the one waiting for that flower and you're not picked. And you're sitting there like one of the last two or three teams within the conference and you're not going. That's where the problem lies. Fair or unfair, the Bills have created, unfortunately, a narrative that a lot of people can easily cling to. I hate it, for one. Personally, don't care. It doesn't mean that it's over if the Bills don't win it this year. It doesn't mean that at all. Not in the slightest. As long as Josh Allen is employed by the Buffalo Bills, they have a chance.
I mean, yeah, like until Allen's like 34, I'm not even going to like be entertaining those conversations.
Right. However, as a team, as a franchise, there should be a little bit of pressure on them. I don't think the locker room cares. And this is where the experience is going to help them. They've already dealt with the hardship year in and year out. That's good. Use it. Not a lot of these teams this year know how this feels.
I mean,
not a lot of teams know the playoff exit yet.
You're even, you know, you bring that up too. Liam Cohen. I heard the clip played with Jeremy and Joe earlier today talking about 1 o'clock kickoff, and he is talking about the intensity will be ramped up, the whole thing. Like, he is trying to talk about like what the playoffs will be, and we know that especially in sports like the NHL and the NBA, where the game looks significantly different from the regular season to the postseason. NHL is maybe the most famous for this, is that if you watch an NHL playoff game versus a regular season game, it doesn't even look like the same sport. Mm-hmm. The NFL is around the same, where the intensity is ramped up. All of a sudden, the quarterbacks do mean more. The defenses mean more. Allen, we can go through his stats all we want. His game elevates to a different level than many others. We don't know how a lot of these guys will react. Sam Darnold has become kind of the perfect modern-day study, or like the last 2 years, mm-hmm. where as the season winds down, the games start to mean more.
Lights get brighter.
He hasn't necessarily performed as well. Where Allen has sort of been the opposite. Jalen Hurts is maybe actually the perfect example. He's fine in the regular season, maybe even at times bad, but in the postseason, in the Super Bowls,
he steps it up.
Very, very good. We don't know what Lawrence is going to look like. We don't know what Drake May or Bo Nix are really going to look like. Each of them have had one or two opportunities. May, none at this point.
We do have a semblance of what Trevor Lawrence has looked like, and that's okay. He's been okay. He's been pretty much Trevor Lawrence. He's had his bright spots,
mm-hmm.
the Charger game, and then every other time, not so much. And every other time, I do believe, only constitutes for one other game, and that was the one right after.
It was Kansas City. And so ultimately, he ends that 2022 postseason just over 60 completion percentage, 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. His passer rating is 72.1.
I wonder how many picks he threw against Kansas City now.
Yeah, I want to go back to that because I think it was more the Chargers. It was the first half was a disaster. He rectifies it in the second half. But I need to go look back at that postseason.
But even then, if you're going to dig yourself that big of a hole, looking at you, Bills, don't do it.
Well, yeah.
Don't do the digging yourself into a 21-0 hole in the first half. Don't do it. Like, yes, it worked in the regular season against the Patriots, but can you get away with that multiple times? Probably not. But when I think about these sorts of things, yeah, we don't know about Nix. Nix has played one postseason game. We don't know about May. I feel like we know about Herbert.
Yeah, which
he
is,
has collapsed.
He has bad moments.
He has absolutely collapsed in the playoffs already. And the Chargers do it as a whole. I do wonder if Jim Harbaugh is going to be able to fix some of that stigma that the Chargers do carry around. But the Bills are a team that, when you look at the consistency throughout the postseason, he has a better percentage of wins in the playoffs or wins per playoff year than even Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers has 11 wins in the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers has been playing for more than 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
It gets to a point where you should have the expectations on you. You're the favorite son, and the stage has been set. And that's how the national media is going to look at it. It's Tuesday and I'm tired.
I can't wait.
Like, I'm tired of already hearing about it, really. It has to be now. First of all, no, it doesn't. Just because it's written in the stars doesn't mean that humanity follows it. Trust me on that with any context. But I will look at this team and go, I'm not going to say quite that I agree, but man, if there's a time to put up the kill shot, it's now. It's a good opportunity. I can't wait to hear about the, what do they call it now? Like,
excuses?
Like the soft oh, you guys got through without Kansas City and all the, and without the Ravens.
Yeah, every championship ever always has the excuses of this team was hurt, this team wasn't in it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's everybody.
I can't wait for the – oh, Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
That's what – yeah. I'm looking forward to facing the Mickey Mouse AFC champions or Mickey Mouse Super Bowl champions because get it done. Let us actually do this. And I think I'm more excited because what we've been saying for weeks, Zach. What's the best reason that you have for the Bills when they're on their downswing of like, oh, they can beat anyone. They can also lose to anyone. This AFC playoff field is unpredictable and kind of meh. And now we're here. This is the meh. We're here.
Yeah.
We now get to see it in action. The Bills are part of it. But can they just get through this muddled, disgusting mess?
Going to find out on Sunday at 1-803-0550, the number to call. It's the early days. It's only Tuesday, but what are your confidence levels at the moment for the Bills when they do take on the Jags on Sunday? We'll read your tweets as well, but we'll go to the phones here first. Alan is up first. Alan, how are we doing today?
Hey, good. How you guys doing? I just wanted to share something. There's a reason why the Bills are favored 1.5 points, and that spread didn't move at all yesterday. I heard a couple comments, people saying, oh, that's going to come down. It's going to be a pick 'em. I actually think, and I was watching something on DraftKings not too long ago, that spread might go up to 2, 2.5 by week's end. And another factor is you got to take an advantage is the crowd. Mm-hmm. I truly believe the Bills will have probably 30 to 35% people there. You can already see it. Jacksonville, there's a on Twitter, don't sell your tickets to Bills fans. How do you know? You don't know. These places don't give information where to sell your tickets to. My other point is this. The tight ends is the X factor. They're not great at covering tight ends, and they don't get to the quarterback. I really believe you're going to see the playoff Josh Allen come back. He was really ticked at that Eagles game. And when Allen gets ticked and this team goes on a roll, I just think he's going to be the huge part. And I look, and I know they're number one against the rush, number one against the pass. But I think Cook's going to have a big day, and I think our two tight ends and Allen are going to James Cook and Brandon Cooks are going to have really good days. I'll hang up and listen to you, but look at that spread. That's going to go up.
Yeah, Alan, thanks for the call. It is curious. I actually think eventually it will get to the point where the Jags are favored. The Bills are, I think, nationally a lot of it's Josh Allen and a bunch of guys. Cook maybe has entered that conversation, but I think eventually, at least as the week goes on, I think more people are just going to look at the Jags might be just playing better football at the moment. I will also say on defense, you bring up a good point with the tight ends. They're 19th in DVOA in covering tight ends. The yards, they give up a lot, what have you, but a lot of these games, especially late in the year, they've been up on teams. Teams aren't running on them. They're just throwing the ball over the yard, just trying to do anything, get anything going. They've been up on them early. And in terms of getting after the quarterback, the sack numbers I don't believe are very high. I think they're fairly low in that. But in terms of their pressure percentage, their hurry percentage, their QB knockdowns, they're top 10, top 15. Again, it's not like it's the Houston Texans or the Denver Broncos where you are kind of worried about that or Philadelphia Eagles where you're just constantly worried about it. They are athletic. They're young. They're fast. This has the looks of a team that just had a bad head coach that finally all the young talent is starting to emerge at the same time because they got the coaching staff right. I think this is going to have to come down to Allen just being the first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback that he is. We go through like a bunch of these guys and the unknowns they are in the playoffs. Allen's not that. Allen at this point, especially after his first year, has been nothing but money in the playoffs. Literally outside of 1 year past 2020. Of course, 2019, you have the loss against Houston. But since his emergence as this great quarterback, 2022 is the only year where he has equal touchdowns to interceptions. Outside of that, it's 4 passing touchdowns, no picks, 4 passing touchdowns, no picks, 9 no picks, 5-1 in 2020. Also, you look at the rushing numbers as well. He puts up 3 rushing touchdowns in 23, 2 last year. You know, he is somebody that just takes over postseason games. He plays his best ball at this time. I think it was great. Bills were able to get him to rest. They didn't really have to worry about playing for seeding. They ultimately get the win with the backups and pretty,
convincingly.
Emphatic fashion. But, yeah, Allen plays his best. I mean, if you want to look at passer rating, 109.6 last year, 101.7 the year prior. His yards per game as well, 212 last year, 194 the year prior. So they don't even necessarily ask a lot of him in these last two games throwing the ball. But this is where he is at his best, is in the postseason, and they're going to need it.
And also, though, there's a sour taste in his mouth over the last 2 years. You had the football with an opportunity to make a difference in the game, and you didn't. That's going to sit there. That's going to be remembered by him. I know that. That's an athlete thing. Like, I don't like to assume feelings. I'll assume that one, because athletes do hold on to every chip that they can on their shoulder, as tiny as it could be. But this one's a big chip. This is one that he will want to overcome. Just as a player, you want to do that. It's not even about us talking about it. It's already there. It's already in the register. The passing and rushing situation with Jacksonville, we had a couple of callers on the overtime show about that. One was worried about how Jacksonville is so stout against the defense, against the run, and it's a little bit of a fallacy. Jacksonville's gotten up quickly on a lot of subpar teams in their win streak, so it does skew the numbers a little bit there. I do think that the Bills will be able to establish a run game against Jacksonville. And like you said, this isn't Houston, this isn't Denver, where they play a disrespectful brand of defense.
They're there to punish you for showing up.
Houston in particular. They don't disguise their coverage, and they don't blitz you, and they will still beat you. But even Houston, they're playing for a decent, like, they still had some of their starters in on defense and got trampled over by Riley Leonard. So,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once again, we are back to who are all of these teams really? And that includes Buffalo. However, when it comes to playoff track record, I do also know something else. As of late, the Bills' defense has been doing enough. And that's through this season as well. They've been doing enough. What does enough constitute? Well, that depends on the game. But they've been doing enough every game. Whether it's, okay, we're getting ourselves into a track meet, we can't make a stop, and then, oh, hey, guess what? Here's the timely stop so that our offense, who's already playing with their hair on fire, can finish the job. They make the timely stop. In the losses, how often have we blamed the defense in losses?
It gets there, but
this season.
But this season, it's been those losses. It's been much more of, man, the defense actually showed up, and it's the offense that has failed them. Playoffs, it's sort of the same thing. I know with Kansas City, it's, you know, they put up a ton of yards and a ton of points, but you mentioned, and I think correctly, no, the last 2 years, your offense had a chance with the ball to go win, and they didn't.
Because the defense has made timely stops.
Yeah, timely stops.
They've done enough to get it done to where, okay, now you have an opportunity with the football to win this thing. And that they've carried that into this entire year. They've done enough for you to get the job done. So, yeah, the narrative is going to be there, lazy as it may be. But I'm not going to go ahead and just outright say that it's wrong. That's where it's tiring to me, is finding that balance.
803-0550, the number to call. The Bills will come in somewhat shorthanded, or at least they're expected to, on defense. Bills head coach Sean McDermott did speak with the media yesterday. Max Harrison unlikely to play, as he did pick up that ankle injury. Not really sure exactly what kind of ankle injury it is, but he's unlikely to play closer to week to week. While guys like Matt Prater and Ty Johnson are considered day to day, the Bills are expected also to bring in kickers, though, later today to work out just in case Prater cannot go. Again, the number to call, 803-0550. It is Tuesday. It's the early days of the week. But what are your confidence levels in the Bills as they get ready to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville on Sunday at 1 o'clock in the wild card round? Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
There's no question he can get hot because he's done this in the past. Talking about a guy who throughout his playoff career has thrown 25 touchdown passes and only 4 interceptions. And really the only reason he hasn't been able to advance to the championship is defense hasn't shown up. But I believe Josh Allen can do this because, one, he knows he has to do it. And secondly, I think he embraces the run game he has. He has James Cook, who leads the league in rushing, who can be a great Robin to his Batman and can control games. And when you're talking about Jacksonville, they're good at pressuring quarterbacks, but not at sacking quarterbacks. Good with defense, but not great with run defense. So a lot of things tell me that Josh Allen can get things going.
Jeffrey Chedia talking Jacksonville and the Buffalo Bills. It's Sunday at 1 o'clock, and they've got a few other marquee matchups. Namely, it's you got on Saturday with the Bears and the Packers, and then Sunday 4:30, Philadelphia and the 49ers. I think Jacksonville and Buffalo though could easily work its way into, like, when we're all said and done, and we're on to the divisional round, could wind up being the best game, or definitely the game with the biggest stakes by the end of it.
Yeah, and I think that it will be an announcement for either of the teams as well. Mm-hmm. Like for the Bills, it's a different announcement. For Jacksonville, it would be, okay, you beat the team that has been around in the postseason for the last 5 years, 6 years. Okay, you've arrived. For Buffalo, the announcement is kind of turning up the volume on that narrative of theirs of, no, it's Brucey's time to shine.
Yeah, and I say this to you too. Like, I hope people are ready for the fact if they win this, that just gets louder.
The volume gets turned up. Yeah. I said it. Yeah. It's Tuesday and I'm tired. However, every week that the Bills exist in the postseason, the narrative will get louder. Because at a point, once you get to, say, hypothetically, the AFC Championship game, then the pundits are going to, oh my God, are they actually going to do it? And the volume is cranked to 11. I can't take the headphones off. They're glued to my face.
Man, it's gonna be something on Sunday. I can't wait. I love that it's at 1 o'clock too. It's the old reliable time that we don't really get to see all that much anymore.
It
makes sense with Jacksonville. Also, to the caller's point previously in the last segment, and we'll keep getting your calls here in just a moment. I am also expecting a pretty heavy Bills contingent. I always want fan bases of the NFL to be fun and that no one really has a bad fan base. I don't like that in sports leagues. I don't want it to feel essentially fraudulent. Jacksonville is probably the closest to that in the NFL, where it just kind of is like, oh, this is weird. Like, it's clearly a college town. Like, there's always rumblings they're going to move their team to London and stuff like that. I mean, they already play one of their home games every year in London. But yeah, like, I fully expect there would be a lot of Bills fans. There was in 2017. I mean, that's the year that Jacksonville goes to the AFC Championship. And it was true in 2017 that a bunch of Bills fans flocked to Jacksonville for one day and left. That's absolutely true. And I imagine it's going to be the same thing now. Because unlike last time was more the euphoric feeling of we're finally there. Now this time it could be, I'm going to go watch Josh Allen and the Bills. I'm going to go maybe watch a Super Bowl run here. It just happens to be on the road. Oh, so I don't have to freeze? Okay, cool.
Welcome back to the narrative.
Yeah.
And you use it in the favor of, okay, I got to watch this team.
Right. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll take your calls. How are you feeling on the early days of the week? Bills at the Jaguars Sunday at 1 p.m. Jerry is up first this segment. Jerry, how are we doing?
I'm good. I'm actually very happy with the defense. Mm-hmm. I think the rushing issues that we have, sure, there was week one. I think the Miami game, it was inflated because there were 3 or 4 times that A-Chain had a 3rd-and-1 or a 4th-and-1 and then cracked a seam. In a normal game, he scores 1 touchdown and rushes for 100 yards. It's not this overwhelming, look at these long runs. It was just situational where, again, it's 4th-and-1 or 3rd-and-1, and he finds a seam and gets through it. It's you're trying to get a stop there, and you don't get the stop, but you give up a big play. It's, you know, in a normal defense in a closer game, maybe it's much different. We just needed a stop there. Mm-hmm. The New England game, did Henderson have like 2 big runs and
he
that
did.
Was it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think the numbers are fairly skewed. I don't think we've been as bad against the run as we think we have.
No, and Jerry, it's a good point to bring up. Thanks for the call. It's been Shaq Thompson. And not him necessarily in like the singular, like, guys, he's having an all-pro year. It's just more him being slotted at middle linebacker has really improved the Bills' rush defense. They have had a problem, and you bring up the long runs as well. And it was, yeah, they got past the initial contact, the initial hit point, And then once they got towards the linebackers, Terrell Bernard, it went south a lot of the time for the Bills. Didn't always have to be these 60-yard touchdown runs, but it was, you know, 15, 20 yards. You know, now all of a sudden Cole Bishop is coming up, and we mentioned that with him as well. When your safety leads your team in tackles, probably not a great sign for the day.
It's not a great sign for the day. It's not a great sign for your season, as a matter of fact, if that's also the case.
But so looking at their rushing stats, and if you want to, we can even go from the Miami game. You know, Tampa is not great. Miami's not great. 107 against Miami, 202 against Tampa. Then it goes down to 108 against Houston, a loss. Then 58 against Pittsburgh, 62 against Cincinnati, although they were throwing the ball quite a bit. However, they only end with 338 total yards. 246, you do mention it there with New England, 160 against, or excuse me, yeah, New England, 160 against Cleveland, then 82 against Philadelphia. So kind of sandwiched in there, they are improving. It's not the greatest thing in the world. They are still not a great run defense by any stretch of the imagination. But I also am not going to sit here and say Etienne is going to be the guy that's going to kill them finally.
Well, the thing is that it's about how they pursue. It's not about the backs themselves. It is about who they are dealing with offensive line-wise, what's the pursuit angles, how are they shedding blockers. You mentioned, if a safety's leading the team in tackles on the day, it's not a good day. I hinted at season. Zach, the starting safeties lead the team in tackles. In Cole Bishop and Jordan Poyer at second.
Mm-hmm.
It is because of pursuit angles. It's about block shedding. It is about pursuit. Because it's not always about the big runs. You mentioned like the 15-20s. I'm going with the run that should be 2 or 3 yards that ends up 9.
Right.
Because of a missed tackle. Because of a bad pursuit angle. Mm-hmm. Because you couldn't get off the block in time. Because you over-pursued and you got sealed off. And that's where Shaq Thompson's been valuable, is cutting down on the, that should be a 2 or 3 yard gain and it ends up 9 and it's 2nd and 1. That's the play you need to eliminate. That's the play that kills you, because that's not the flashy one. That's not the one that stands out, but it's the one that keeps the drive going. And I will say there's one part to the Bills' run defense being problematic, and it's those types of runs. Why? They extend drives, they put teams into favorable situations, and that allows them to chew up the clock. Big runs can go for touchdowns. You get the football back. The Bills sometimes don't have the clock working for them. That's the big effect that I look for. The Bills do operate on a more of a time-eating efficiency offense now. You need that clock. At the very least, you need to make sure you're getting yourself off the field. And when you have those runs, the ones that should be stopped for a minimal gain, and they go through the linebacking core, it is infuriating to see.
Yeah, absolutely. 803-0550, the number to call. We're going to end up spending a lot of time on the run defense. I do know that. It's been the passing attack for Jacksonville that has kind of unlocked them. It is Trevor Lawrence and the way right. He is playing. It is Parker Washington and Jacoby Myers being incredible. They haven't had Travis Hunter basically for this entire win streak. It's been the other guys. So like their first round pick, the guy they trade up for, hasn't really even been a part of this. And you're likely going to be down Max Harrison this week. Again, he's doubtful to play or unlikely to play. So we're going to kind of move with that being the case. So it's going to be Christian Benford, Trey White, and probably Dane Jackson getting called up are going to be your boundary corners. I mean, it's going to be a tough test. This is where you do wonder, or maybe hope, what have you, what kind of playoff performer is Trevor Lawrence? Do the lights get brighter? Or is it just going to be the sheer fact, because this is true, and I've mentioned, you know, you're not just the immediate heir apparent, right? Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson are out, so it's got to be Josh Allen now, right? I've mentioned that. You're not entitled to being the next guy up. But with that being said, most teams do have to go through a losing period before they win. That is true. That is at many times the case. It would be pretty stunning if Jacksonville goes from one of the locales of the league, up there with the Jets and the Browns, of just being complete ineptitude incarnate, to all of a sudden 1 year because they got Liam Cohen, right? That all of a sudden, nah, they're beating everybody now. Now it doesn't matter. We can look at the Bills' schedule and everything with that and how it's fairly weak. Even their biggest wins, Kansas City is not a playoff team.
Similarly to Drake May and Mike Vrabel.
Right.
Like, neither of you have gotten anywhere deep in postseason. At least Denver, I can say Sean Payton's done this before.
Sean Payton has done this before. Vrabel's got a little bit with Tennessee.
Vrabel's got a little bit, but he also was the one seed that got trounced right away. But, which also probably is going to happen in Denver.
Definitely could. But I look at Jacksonville, though, and I do wonder, like, maybe is it a year too soon? Like, is next year the year where all of a sudden they maybe lose more games because the schedule's harder, but overall take a much bigger step forward? I don't know. It's why I really like the AFC bracket so much this year. It's also why I kind of can't stand it, because you really just don't know what you're getting. You always knew what you were getting with Mahomes, Allen, Lamar in there. They were all going to win a game, and then the divisional round is where we're going to get the fireworks show. And then we'll see who winds up in Kansas City for the AFC Championship, because that just seems how it always went.
It seems like how it always went. Even though they weren't the one seed, they found a way to have that out of the way.
And now, what is it, like, for the first time since like 2019 or something like that, one of Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes is not going to be in the AFC Championship?
Well, yeah, that's a hard – wait. Patrick Mahomes alone isn't going to be in the AFC
Championship. Right, but Burrow was also like – at least one of those guys was always in it.
But Allen was the other one.
Allen was the other
one. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, really, I don't know why they included Burrow's name in there. But because the other guy that's been there the other half of the time in the AFC Championship game is still there.
Is still there. It's just but to me, it's going to be a wild ride. You know, even if it ends on Sunday for the Bills, I'm still going to be kind of almost morbidly curious to see how it all ends. Because there's certain teams, fair or unfair, I mean, there's probably going to be people out there that say the same thing about Buffalo. If you grew up in the 2000s on, it'll feel weird to see them in the Super Bowl. I will be awestruck if I see a Jacksonville Jaguars team in the Super Bowl. It will feel wrong, right? And I don't want to say that disrespectfully, but let's all be honest here. Like,
it's the same with Buffalo.
It will feel weird. And you know, I look in the NFC side of things, though, too. Like, it's not that long ago Carolina was in the Super Bowl, but that'd be insane.
Even weirder. Houston.
Houston, yeah.
Like, Houston, Jacksonville, Buffalo are the three teams that you can look at, and the logo on the helmet being slapped onto a Super Bowl billboard will feel weird for a lot of people in the country.
Yeah, depending on your age, it will be very, very strange. Let's go back to the phones. JD is up next. JD, how we doing, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. I just want to say, having watched the Bills for about 55 years, Josh Allen is young. He's still healthy. And this club has been good enough to win it for like 5 or 6 years. And this is a mental thing. It is time for them to decide they're going to do it. And I see clubs, San Francisco, Seattle, they're all beatable. And I just remember that John Elway was 37 when he finally won one, because it took them that long to find him, Terrell Davis.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Josh Allen is sitting there with James Cook and Ray Davis and Ty Johnson, and they've got a hell of a running game. Today is the day. I don't want to hear about McDermott or Bean or whoever. This is single elimination playoffs. This is not seven-game series. And I'm a big believer that it's time for the Bills to decide that they're going to get the timing right and show up on the right day. Now, as far as the run defense goes, every time I hear it stinks, they go out and stop Saquon Barkley for, like, I don't know, 68 yards or whatever it was. So I think Shaq Thompson's been an upgrade, and I think the Bills can pull it together for a day. And I think the time is now. Allen's young and healthy, and I'm convinced that they can put it together on the right days. They've made it very difficult for themselves having to go on the road, because half the teams who get the bye these days, it's an enormous advantage. Only one team gets it. 50% of the time, the team with the bye is going to go to the Super Bowl. So it's either Denver or Seattle, most likely, in one of the conferences. So that's my take on the Bills. It's time to win it. Win it now. I don't want to hear about next year. But I do want to get your thoughts, and I want to follow up on something regarding Marv Levy real quick.
Yeah, JD, just real quick on all of that. Just, I mean, yeah, I watched the John Elway documentary, the TD stuff. I mean, he went to three straight Super Bowl, or not three straight, but went to three Super Bowls early in his career, and they got more depressing as it went on, and eventually got to the point where Denver fans didn't actually want to go back to the Super Bowl, because they're like, cool, we're just going to get embarrassed by an NFC team again. Let's not do that. And then they win back-to-back ones to end out his career. It's a little bit of ways down the road, hopefully, for Allen. He's only 29-30 in this season. I think Elway retires when he's like 37-38. And yeah, it's a good point to bring up, though, with the rushing attack, James Cook. Like, you can no longer just say Allen's doing it with a bunch of guys. Cook has established himself, I think, comfortably now as one of the premier backs in the sport. He is absolutely a go-to back. Doesn't necessarily have to be on the field for three downs. Derrick Henry's not. He's usually not on the field on third downs unless it's like third and one and they're going to run it. He's not out there for passing situations. Likewise, Cook's not there to pass block. But he led the league in rushing. Like, that's what he does now. And he's been their kind of go-to guy when the passing game can't get going. To a certain extent, it's been frustrating because they've had to lean on him so much. But Elway gets his rings when TD runs for 2,000 yards. And they're essentially built through that and then throw up some goal balls to Rod Smith or Shannon Sharp.
Yeah, if you guys don't mind, I just want to ask you one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thing here, I am surprised that 30 or 35 years after Marv Levy departed the coaching scene, I'm surprised that more clubs haven't used the no huddle as a mechanism. And I want to get your thoughts on this because it's interesting. It's not so much from the offensive perspective, although I always loved the Jim Kelly Bills, but stop and think about this. When they won the 51-3 game, the famous story is that Howie Long was asking Jim Kelly, could you guys slow down? And when I see these fantastic superstar defenses that I'm told they're so wonderful that the Bills have to go up against, I stop and think to myself, God, if the Bills just went to a hurry up, how many of these guys would be gassed after a first down or two? And I think it can say, we're the Buffalo Bills. Our signature was the no huddle, and I was just wondering if you were as surprised as me that Marv Levy's legacy was not latched onto more often than it is. And I'll hang up and get your thoughts.
Yeah, JD, thanks for the call. It actually is. The no huddle is now used more widely in the NFL, not to that exact extent, but the Bills also would only run like 4 to 6 plays pretty aggressive. I mean, they were fast about it, but that was kind of what they did. That is now much more widely used in the NFL. You also have to remember, too, conditioning is much better now. You are not going to get to that point that you did in that AFC Championship game. Because I've rewatched it, and you can see by like the second drive, the Raiders are pretty much done. They have no idea what to do. They're exhausted. It's more widely used now. It's just not in the exact same vein. It's not the exact same template. I know the guys in One Bills Live, Steve Tasker especially, have talked about that a lot. Just it kind of is used more in the National Football League than it was. It was revolutionary then. It's more standard now. It just does not look exactly the same. 803-0550, the number to call. We do have primetime players coming up at the top of the hour. We'll keep taking your calls, though, when we come back. What's your confidence level for Bills-Jags this Sunday at 1 p.m.? It's early days in the week. Bills don't even have practice today. But we've all been kind of waiting for it. We've all been thinking it's going to be Jacksonville for at least the last few weeks. Love to hear your thoughts when we come back. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Wrapping up hour number one here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We got the Sabres tonight at home, Vancouver. The winning streak did not get to 11.
It didn't get to 11, and I reset the board. Operation 10 straight happened, and I erased all the numbers and put 0 to go mission accomplished underneath it. So the one that's making the changes on that board is me.
There you go.
But now I've reset it. 10 to go again. Let's do it again.
Just
because it was so fun. Do it again.
Real quick, because we'll get to your calls here before we take our next time out. Just don't go on a massive losing streak. This was always the most important thing of the win streak, is how did you handle the first loss?
I did not listen in today. I'd imagine it wasn't really all that broached over the last couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Did Jeremy call this a must win?
I don't know.
Because honestly,
makes me nervous.
Honestly, hey, they broke that too.
They did.
But honestly, I'd call it that.
It kind of is. If you start to all of a sudden pick up losses again, and we've already seen
much like 2018.
You picked up 10 wins, and all you could do for one day was be in a playoff spot. For one of those days.
Yeah, that's so annoying.
So if you start picking up losses again, it gets
also
dicey.
The top three in the Atlantic has started to pull away.
It is starting to pull away a
little bit. You are in a situation now where you are fighting for those wild card spots, you need to make sure you're staying on point.
Pre-game at 6 for a 7 p.m. puck drop. Let's go back to the phones. Steve is up next. Steve, how we doing?
Hey, guys. Doing good. Biggest thing for this game for me is, you know, it's scary because I think this is the one team that can outscore us in a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have a good defense, but on the other side, you know, they do have good receivers. They can run the ball, and they have a mobile quarterback. And I think that's going to really stress our defense out, especially not having somebody to match up and man or have that extra insurance in case somebody picks up something during the game with Harrison being out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're going to be in a tough spot with us, Steve. Thanks for the call. And that is something that I want to mention, too, and I'm glad he kind of brought up that they can score with you. For me, it really is not the run defense that I'm more concerned about. It is how are they going to stack up against this Jacksonville team that really seemed to figure it out in the passing game. Jacoby Myers, Sean McDermott brings him up basically unprompted to talk about how big of an addition that was for them. Brian Thomas is started to figure it out a little bit with the Myers addition, but Parker Washington has kind of emerged out of nowhere in like the last 6 weeks or so to be one of their best targets.
Yeah, Parker Washington out of nowhere has been interesting.
And then Strange as well, the tight end, is very good as well. In terms of sacks, if you do care about this, Josh Allen and Trevor Lawrence, pretty much the same. Lawrence has taken 41, Allen's taken 40. So it's not like it's even one of those where, hey, he takes a bunch of sacks, though. It's about the same as your quarterback. It's going to be a hell of a matchup. I think it might, honestly, quietly, be maybe the best matchup of Wild Card Weekend, maybe outside of Philadelphia and San Francisco. And that might be more due to brands than anything else. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get to primetime performers coming up next. We'll also keep taking your calls as well. How are you feeling on the early days heading into Wild Card Weekends? The Bills will be on the road this year in the Wild Card to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars Sunday at 1 p.m. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.